on behalf of all of Radha Gopinath Temple devotees, we welcome you to our Sunday festival. Today, I am seeing devotees from so many places have assembled. From Pune, Kolhapur, Nigri, Nasik, Satara, Belgaum, Bombay. This really is a very sacred tradition of our acharyas that devotees come together from various places to perform Nam Sankirtan, to hear Harikatha, to take prasad together, to associate together, to serve together. We all know the famous story of the first Gaur Purnima festival celebrated in Khetri, which is today in Bangladesh. It was inspired by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself after he had disappeared from this world. Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and Shyamananda Prabhu, they arranged for this wonderful festival, and devotees came from all directions. Practically whatever devotees there were coming, like rivers to the ocean of Khetri Gram. The presiding senior most person was Janava Devi, the consort of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. After establishing the Gaur Purnima festival, every year, on the full moon of the month of Palgun, Gaur Purnima, the same festival was celebrated in Khetri. In the temple of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Narottam Das Thakur, and the whole town would make all arrangements. There would be massive kirtan. One time, during this Gaur Purnima festival, there were thousands of people all anticipating Narottam Das Thakur's Sankirtan performance. As Narottam Das Thakur began to sing, his heart was deeply affected by Krishna's holy name, by Krishna's holy qualities. And he began to, Mahadyuti Prabhu, if you like, please sit here. Come. Whatever makes you happy, but we'll be happy if you come here. Enthusiastically welcome Mahadyuti Prabhu to our temple. So we are in Khetri Gram for one of the subsequent annual Gaur Purnima festivals. Narottam Das Thakur was singing about Radha and Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. He was singing according to the poems of the great Vaishnav Chandidas, one of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's most favorite. As he was describing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, because of his sincere absorption, because of his very deep, profound intention to please the Lord and to please all the Vaishnavas, something very mystical took place. His voice became so sweet. He already had the sweetest voice of anyone in the world. But on this day, because of his sincere intention, Radha and Krishna appeared through that sound vibration in such a way that his voice was absolutely intoxicating. Devotees were swooning to hear the sweetness of his voice and the content of what he was singing. It was irresistible. In fact, it was so irresistible that Radha and Krishna themselves could not resist. Being affected so deeply by the love of Narottam Das Thakur, suddenly, in front of everyone, Radharani and Gopinath appeared in their original transcendental forms right in the center of the kirtan hall. They emitted such light, brilliant light, that illuminated all the four directions. Devotees were weeping, they were crying, they were intoxicated with love. They were having the darshan of Radha Gopinath. It appeared like a dark cloud entwined by lightning. And from their bodies, a fragrance filled the entire atmosphere. And when devotees were seeing Radha and Krishna, tasting them in the sound of Narottam Das Thakur's voice through their ears, smelling their fragrance, tasting their holy names chanting through their mouths, it was inconceivable, indescribable. Ramchandra Kaviraj and Narottam Das Thakur, they were beside themselves in ecstatic love, chanting and chanting. Suddenly Radha Gopinath disappeared. Narottam Das Thakur fell to the ground unconscious, in separation from what he has just seen. And Ramchandra Kaviraj was lamenting very much and trying to bring Narottam Das Thakur back to his consciousness. This was the type of kirtans that were happening among these great devotees. And this also is living historical testimony of how the Lord responds to our devotion. And how the Lord empowers us according to our intentions. Tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. The Lord sometimes takes everything away from his devotees, but only to give him, only to give the devotees himself, the highest treasure, like we have been reading about Gajendra. And the Lord also explains to Narada Muni that wherever my devotees are so sincerely surrendering to me by coming together and sharing their devotion by chanting the holy names, That is where I reside. That is where you will always find me. Every year for the Chaturmasya season, devotees from all different directions would come to Jagannath Puri to be together with Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there they celebrated so many festivals. But actually every day and every moment was a festival. Devotees do not require something on the calendar in order to have a festival. Krishna appears. He appears wherever we're chanting his holy name sincerely. So devotees every day are celebrating Krishna's appearance. One particular year, may I describe? One particular year, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while living in Puri, during his Antya Leela, attracted devotees to come from all different places, especially from Bengal, Kulinagram, Shikanda, Navadweep, Shantipur, all of these places. And the devotees would regularly cook special prasad just for the Lord's satisfaction. Especially Raghava Pandit and his sister Damayanti. They would cook so much prasad and put it in special bags, it took 3 strong men to carry it. And they had to carry it hundreds and hundreds of kilometers, all the way from Panihati to Puri. Has anybody ever walked that? Raghava Pandit and Damayanti, they would cook in such a way that so many preparations, delicious preparations. But Kaviraj Goswami explains how the Lord extracts the intention from the devotee's heart. After making so many bags of very, very delicious bhoga with ghee and spices and so many things, then Damayanti would make a preparation called sukata, which was extremely bitter. There were dry, very, very bitter leaves in that preparation. Her intention was that the Lord would take all this other food and then he would get indigestion and too much acidity. Now, the Lord, Krishna showed Arjuna the Virat Rupa and he was eating everything and he didn't get acidity. But this is the emotion of a devotee. Damayanti is, her devotion is so great. She's thinking of Lord Chaitanya. She knows he's God, but still she's thinking of him like an ordinary person. Out of love. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would accept the love. When he would eat those dry, very bitter leaves in the sukata, it was like nectar to him. He would be in ecstasy. It tasted so ambrosially sweet because he was tasting the intention of Damayanti, who simply wanted keep him in good health and make him happy. So they were carrying these, actually Damayanti, she would take all the preparations and put them in small, in bags, cloth bags, no plastic. Put them in cloth bags. And she'd seal it very, very carefully so it would be preserved. Then she would take the small bags and put them in larger bags and seal those. Shivananda Sen, with his family, would arrange for the whole excursion from Bengal to Puri. With great, great efforts to please all the devotees. This particular year, when the day they happened to arrive in Sri Puri Dham, it was the boat festival at Narendra Sarovar, where the Vijayamurti of Lord Jagannath comes out of the temple on procession to this lake called Narendra, and there is a special boat. It's only used once a year. And that deity named Govinda would be put on the boat, and he would be taken all around the lake. There would be aartis and so many flower offerings and bhoga offerings, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just so happy to worship the deity of the Lord. And when he saw, as he was standing there at Narendra Sarovar, all the devotees, hundreds and about 400 of them, they all came right to that place, hearing that the Lord was there. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he embraced them. He offered them garlands, he offered them sandalwood. And after receiving them with such gratitude and love, he would raise his arms and induce them all to chant the holy names. And they were chanting and chanting. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so enthusiastic to see Govinda sailing around this lake on his nice decorated boat. Lord Chaitanya couldn't control himself. He jumped in the lake. And it's a pretty deep lake, actually. And then all the 400 devotees jumped in the lake. And as they were all in the lake together, just their eyes gazing upon the beautiful form of Govinda, enjoying a boat pastime, Narendra Sarovar was like the Yamuna River. And they were all watching the Vrindavan pastimes with great happiness. They all loudly called out the holy name. What a beautiful reunion. Together, celebrating the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. This is Vaishnav culture. As the festival ended, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought all the devotees. He brought them to his own place, the Gambira, and arranged sumptuous Jagannath Prasad for everyone. He fed everyone to their full satisfaction. Then according to the year before, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally arranged rooms, accommodations for all the devotees who came, along with Kashi Mishra and King Pratapa Rudra and other devotees were involved in making sure everyone was nicely accommodated. So Lord Chaitanya arranged the very same rooms for them again this year. The next morning, early in the morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his devotees for the darshan of Jagannath. in the temple. When Lord Chaitanya saw Lord Jagannath, after a long time, his first darshan after a long time, because he was in his seclusion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the devotees gazed upon the beautiful form of Jagannath. Then Lord Chaitanya, in the Jagan Mohan, the Kirtan hall, he divided the devotees into seven groups to perform Nam Sankirtan. Each group had a lead singer, each group had a lead dancer. Some of the lead dancers were Nityananda Prabhu, Haridas Thakur, Srivas Thakur, Vakreshwar Pandit, Narahari, Satyaraj Khan. And each group had many mridangas and many kartals. And he induced them all to chant. Then Lord Chaitanya was going to each group to inspect each one of them. And each of them was considering that Lord Chaitanya is only with us. He was actually inspecting each group. But he did it in such a mystical way that each of the kirtan parties were thinking, the Lord is just staying with us. He's not going to any of the others. Can you imagine the tumultuous sound as each of them were personally, for the pleasure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the presence of Lord Jagannath, playing on their mridangas and the kartals and other instruments, loudly chanting the holy names? It filled all the directions. This went on for some time. Then the Lord became so inspired, he personally began to dance. He was remembering a verse that was often sung in kirtan by Swarup Damodar Goswami. Before beginning his dance, he folded his palms and he recited that verse. Let my head fall down at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath in his kirtan hall called Jagamohan. Thinking like that, he began to dance. He raised his arms. He turned to everyone and cried, "Chant, chant!" All the directions, it appeared that the entire universe was being filled with the chanting of the holy names. At that time, all seven groups merged into one in a circle around Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How he danced. Everybody around him, according to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, were floating in his tears. His hairs were standing on end like the thorns of a shimuli tree. His body was simultaneously, from every pore of his body were perspiration and blood in ecstasy. His limbs were trembling. Sometimes he would fall unconscious. Sometimes he would be very light, other times very heavy. He was completely immersed in an internal state of consciousness, absorbed in the chanting of the holy names. A few days ago, we celebrated Radhashtami. Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting the symptoms of Radha's love for Krishna. Radha Bhavaduti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna who has come to taste the sweetness of Radha's love and who has accepted the complexion of Srimati Radharani. This was a dance inundating everyone with prema or love of God. He was dancing and dancing so ecstatically. And he kept inducing everyone to dance and everyone to chant. It went on hour after hour, from early morning, now it was mid-afternoon. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was still dancing. Finally, Nityananda Prabhu could see that the devotees were completely exhausted. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was beyond time. He was in the spiritual world. So somehow or other, Nityananda Prabhu stopped all the mridanga players except one. He stopped all the chanters and just had Swarup Damodar Goswami singing a very slow, soft kirtan with very slow, soft accompaniment. And when all the tumultuousness of the kirtan disappeared, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to his external consciousness. And he brought all his devotees to the sea, and they all bathed together while chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
He then arranged prasad for all the devotees, and he took prasad with them. Now it's late afternoon. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went back to his residence, Gambira. Now, according to the tradition, every day after Lord Chaitanya would take prasad, Govinda would massage his feet and his legs. And then, after doing so, Govinda would personally take Lord Chaitanya's remnants himself. But he would fast until he performed his service thoroughly. On this day, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was literally dancing in ecstasy from early morning till mid-afternoon, in the temple of Jagannath, he just lay down in such a way that he blocked the entire door going into Gambira. Govinda could not massage him without coming into the room. But how could he walk over the Lord's body? That was impossible. So Lord Chaitanya was laying there, and Govinda, his personal assistant, with folded palms, humbly requested, "My Lord, please, just roll over a little bit so that I can come into the room to massage you. That is my service." Lord Chaitanya replied, "I am so tired that I cannot move my body. What to do?" Govinda again requested, "My Lord, please, just move a few inches so I could get in." The Lord's reply, "I cannot move my body." Govinda requested again and again, "Just roll a little." "I can't walk over you, my Lord." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Do it or don't do it. Whatever is the intention of your mind." Those were his last words. Then he fell asleep. So what Govinda did is he took an outer garment of Lord Chaitanya and placed it over Lord Chaitanya's body. Then very carefully, he stepped over the Lord's body to get into the room and massaged his feet, massaged his legs, massaged his back, very softly and carefully. 45 minutes passed. Then Lord Chaitanya came into external consciousness. He woke up and he saw Govinda sitting beside him. And Lord Chaitanya appeared angry. He said, "What are you doing sitting here? Every day after you massage me, you go and take prasad. Why haven't you taken prasad? Why are you sitting here?" Govinda said, "Because you're blocking the doorway, so I couldn't walk over you." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, he said, "Well, why didn't you go out the same way you came in?" Govinda was silent, but he was thinking in his mind. And the Lord, who is within the heart, hears what we think. Be careful. He hears what you say. He sees what you do. But he hears your every thought. Govinda was thinking. "In order to perform service to you, my Lord, I am willing to commit hundreds and thousands of offenses. In order to serve you, my Lord, I am willing to suffer endlessly or even go to hell. But for my own purposes or my own sense enjoyment, I am extremely afraid even to commit the slightest trace of an offense." This was his mood. To serve the Lord, he was willing to go to hell and commit any offenses. But for himself, he would never... impossible. He would rather starve and die. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains how Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally engineered this pastime. Now, many of you are engineering students. Krishna's the original engineer. He's engineering everything. And in this case, he engineered this pastime just to reveal to the world the glories of his devotees. What was the mind of Govinda? And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains how subtle the etiquette of the Vaishnavas is. Some people who are in an external state of devotion are very much attached to regulative principles and rituals. But a more serious and mature devotee understands that we should follow the regulative principles very carefully, and the rituals should be done nicely. But essentially, it's all for the purpose of pleasing the Lord. The Lord is accepting our intention. He is accepting the purpose. Sam siddhir haritoshanam. Whatever we do, its success is to the degree it pleases Krishna. So sometimes for the purpose of pleasing the Lord may even, or a devotee may make some offense or not follow the ritual exactly as it's supposed to be. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he cites an example of how one, in a famous poem in Sanskrit, how the wife, steeped in great love, she offered her husband a garland. But she didn't realize that the garland was covered with mud. So it was a muddy garland. There was mud all over the husband. But because she offered it with such affection, the husband was completely satisfied. He didn't see the mud. He saw the devotion. Srila Prabhupada, at the beginning of his Srimad Bhagavatam, his humility, he quotes a particular verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that if one is praising the Lord, even if that praise is not composed properly in grammar, even if there are many actual, literal defects in it, because of the sincerity and the purpose, it is considered glorious by those who are self-realized. And so Prabhupada is saying, although this presentation of a translation and purports of Srimad Bhagavatam may have mistakes and defects, that is his humility, still, it's being done with a sincere intention. And the Lord accepts it. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Navadvip, his own Gurudev, Vishwarapuri, he asked him, please edit my book. And Nimai Pandit said, how could I edit your book? You're a pure devotee. Whatever a pure devotee says is perfect. If anybody sees mistakes and flaws in it, that's their condemned state of consciousness because you're glorifying Krishna. Krishna sees the intention. Ishwarapuri was so happy that Lord Chaitanya was glorifying pure devotional service in this way. But he said, still, the common people, please edit this book. Prabhupada wrote the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in Radha Damodar temple, which is the actual place of Krishna's Rasa Leela in Vrindavan. The place where Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami are eternally residing. In the ecstasies of his love for his guru, for Krishna, Radharani, and for all living beings, he made those translations and purports. And he came to America. And he met Hayagriva Prabhu, I think Rai Ramananda. And they were educated young men who, you know, a few weeks before had no Vaishnav culture whatsoever. They weren't following any regulative principles. But then they started doing. Prabhupada said, oh, he said to Hayagriva Prabhu, oh, you are an English professor? Could you help edit something of mine? So he gave Hayagriva paper, and then Hayagriva brought it back. He said, would you mind doing some more? And Hayagriva Prabhu said, thought he would get another piece of paper. I said, sure. Prabhupada opened up trunks of manuscripts. Dozens of piles of manuscripts wrapped up. and said, here, you can edit all that. Now, Prabhupada, from Krishna's perspective, or for those who are pure devotees who really relish pure love of God, there was no need for editing. All his apparent literal grammatical mistakes were perfect. It was absolutely perfect. Because it was absolute. Yes? Even if the English was wrong, even if the spelling was wrong, it was infinitely more correct than the English in any English grammar book. Mm-hmm. Written by the greatest PhD scholars. Why? Because his intention is simply to glorify Krishna. But still, for the sake of other people, to make it more accessible, he had these brand new devotees begin editing it. And because it was under his instruction, the perfection of it was retained. But in a form that was more accessible to people on a material platform. So Govinda, he wanted to show us this. Or we should say Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to teach the world through the pure love of his devotee. That the essence of the importance of whatever ritual or whatever tradition we may be following is our service attitude. It is our humble desire to please the Lord. It's not the thing. It's the spirit that the Lord accepts. And all of our traditions and all of our rituals and everything else, the purpose of them is to cultivate that spirit of servitude. Govinda simply wanted to serve. And part of his service attitude was to never commit any offense to anyone, to any living entity for his own purposes. Just after this wonderful pastime, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, they went to Gundicha and cleaned it and washed it as they did every year. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would again have them have nice feast. Then they all together performed the Rath Yatra along the grand road in Sri Puri Dham. Then the Hara Panchami. The devotees stayed back after this whole festival. And they celebrated all the different festivals throughout the Chaturmasya together with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They celebrated Radhastami, Janmastami. Wouldn't you like to be there with Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Haridas Thakur, Swarup Damodar Goswami, sometimes Rupa Sanatan Goswami, and all the other devotees, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Fakreshwar Pandit, Murari Gupta, Kolavecha Sridhar, everyone was there celebrating Janmashtami. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have his devotees perform dramas where they would enact different leelas. The devotees were bringing from Bengal or else buying the most expensive possible prasad of Jagannath to offer to Lord Chaitanya. Many of them spent many serious hours and days preparing prasad and then carrying it all away from their homes in Bengal. They would, each devotee would give the bhoga to Govinda. It's not easy being the servant of the Lord. And they would say, please tell me how the Lord likes it. And they were all giving, every day, giving more and more. And Govinda would say, this was cooked by Advaitacharya. He wants to know how you like it. Lord Chaitanya said, put it in storage. And he'd say, this Srivas and his wife Malini have cooked this for you. They want to know how you like it. Mahaprabhu said, put it in storage. This was cooked by Acharya Ratna. You know, your uncle put it in storage. Weeks went by. He wouldn't take anything cooked by the devotees. It was all in storage. Raghava Pandit had three people bringing all his bags of food, put it in storage. Soon, in the room that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would eat, an entire area of it was just piled up with prasad. And it was very difficult for Govinda, because every day the devotees said, oh, what did Lord Chaitanya say? Did he like it? And it was too painful for him to disappoint the devotees by saying, it's in storage. Because weeks had gone by. And he didn't want to try to insist to the Lord, but it was very much, he was lying to the devotees. He didn't want to lie to the devotees. So finally, after weeks and weeks and weeks, months, finally he said to the Lord, everybody's asking me how you like the prasad, and I have to lie to them. I don't want to lie to the Vaishnavas. All this food that they've offered, it's just sitting in storage. Lord Chaitanya was very pleased, but he chastised him. He said, you are living with me. You know my heart. Why are you bothered by such insignificant things like this? But if it will make you happy, bring all the food now and I will eat it all. There was enough food piled up in that room that hundreds of men could not eat. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just said, bring it all. And Govinda had recorded who prepared each preparation, because he needed to tell them. So he said, this prasad was brought by Advaitacharya. And it was a feast. In itself, it was a huge feast. Bigger than a huge feast. And Lord Chaitanya ate it. And each preparation, the Lord made comments. And Govinda took note of it. And he brought more and more and more and more until Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate the entire room full of prasad. What hundreds of people could not eat. And he personally relished the sentiment, the devotion in every person. And the amazing thing, although it was months old, every preparation was completely fresh, as if it was prepared minutes before by the Lord's potency. Because he tastes the love of his devotees by his own miraculous powers. the love of the devotees was preserved within each preparation, and preserved the preparation too. Then Lord Chaitanya said, "Is there anything left?" And Govinda said, "There's the bags of Raghava Pandit," which was a mountain in itself. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Keep that, and I will take..." Actually, what the Lord did, he went over to the bags of Raghava Pandit, and there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bags. And he opened each bag, and he tasted a little part of each one of it. And he gave his experience. And then he said, "Now you keep all the rest, and I will take it for the rest of the year. Give me some every afternoon for lunch or for dinner." So for the rest of the year, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have Swarup Damodar Goswami or Govinda to serve him, along with the other prasad, the prasad of Raghava Pandit, Damayanti. And even though by the end of the year, these preparations were 1 year old, they were as fresh and tasty as if they were just cooked. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simply relished their devotion. And how did Damayanti cook? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains dozens and dozens of preparations and how she made it. In one place, Srila Prabhupada says that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami himself must have been an excellent connoisseur cook. Otherwise, he wouldn't know all these ingredients so well. He couldn't give such a description. I remember some years ago, this was back in 1972, one of Prabhupada's personal servants, who was Prabhupada's personal cook, his name was Nanda Kumar. I was living close to him. And Prabhupada loved his cooking. And one time I asked him, you know, how he became such a good cook. And he said, "Prabhupada once told me," Nanda Kumar said, he said, "Prabhupada once told me, in order to be a good cook, you have to really like to eat." So, I don't know if that pertains to everyone or just Nanda Kumar, but that was Prabhupada's explanation. Damayanti, one of the preparations she would make every year, how many of you have been to Panihati? It's on the bank of the Ganga. She would go to the bank of the Ganga, she would go inside the Ganga, and she would collect mud from the bottom of the Ganga. Yes, just mud. And she would dry it out. After drying it, she would filter it into very fine powder. Then she would add some aromatic ingredients to it, some spices. Then add a little Ganges water and roll it into balls and put it into the bags. And oh, how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed this prasad, the prasad of his devotee. So every day, so many devotees were inviting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to have prasad for them to make prasad for him, to either go to their house or for them to bring the prasad. And they would not only cook, but they would purchase the most expensive and best of all Jagannath's prasad and bring it to the Lord. And sometimes there were so many invitations. Again, Govinda, it was very difficult for him. Because they had to go through Govinda. And there were not enough days for everybody. So who is he going to leave out and who is he not going to leave out? Very difficult. Can you imagine? They come all the way from Bengal. They see he's eating at other people's houses every day. Come to my house. So Govinda was really in a very, very wonderful situation. Trying to accommodate everybody and make all the devotees happy and not offend anybody. One day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Shivananda Sen's home. Shivananda Sen, he brought his whole family that year. And Shivananda Sen was introducing him to his Lord Chaitanya, to his children. So one particular child he brought before Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya asked, what is his name? Now this is wonderful, isn't it? The loving exchange. Vedaham samatitani varatamanani chaujana babishani chabutani mamtu vedana kashtana. He's the supreme absolute truth. He's the paramatma in everyone's hearts. He's the witness of everything. He knows everything past, present, and future. And he's asking, what is his name? That is the loving exchange between the Lord and his devotees. And Shivananda Sen said, I named him Chaitanya Das. Lord Chaitanya became grave. He said, what kind of name is that? Why did you give him a name like that? Shivananda Sen replied that whatever name emerged from my heart is what I gave to this child. So little Chaitanya Das, little boy, he offered his obeisances and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed him with such love. Because Shivananda Sen would serve the devotees with so much dedication and enthusiasm, Lord Chaitanya said that Shivananda Sen family is my family. And when Shivananda Sen would invite him, he could not resist. So Shivananda Sen's wife and Shivananda Sen, they cooked a really, really wonderful feast for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And got very rich, opulent Jagannath Prasad. And Shivananda Sen kept bringing more and more and more. And Lord Chaitanya, just to please Shivananda Sen, kept eating more and more and more. He ate a huge amount of Prasad that day. The next day, little Chaitanya Das tells his father, invite Lord Gauranga again to our house because we should make a special offering to him today. Now, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu already had his book schedule and everything, but when Shivananda Sen says, please come, the Lord must come because he's serving the Vaishnavas with so much love. So Lord Chaitanya went to the house of Shivananda Sen, and Chaitanya Das, the little boy, personally prepared one preparation. It was dahi, yogurt, some rice, with lime and ginger and salt. He mixed it up together. Chaitanya Das was thinking in his mind that because Lord Chaitanya ate so many preparations with ghee and with jaggery yesterday, he must have indigestion today. So let us just give him this nice lime ginger, salt, with some yogurt and little rice inside. And some dal patties were also there. This is the beauty of bhakti. The Lord knows everyone's mind. But for those who sincerely want to please the Lord, selflessly, when we have no desire for our own selfish gratifications, when either on the subtle or gross platform we are detached from our ego of enjoying, and we really want to be enjoyed by the Lord, we really want to give pleasure to the Lord, to such a person, the Lord reveals his mind to the devotee's heart. The fact was, although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate that entire room of prasad, which hundreds of people couldn't eat, he didn't get any indigestion from that. No acidity. After all, Lord Chaitanya is the source of the Virat Rupa. The Virat Rupa is just an expansion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we know what he was eating. But because of the loving emotion of this boy, Chaitanya Das, who was rightfully named the servant of Lord Chaitanya, because he was concerned that so much ghee and so many rich preparations, he must have acidity and indigestion. Because he was thinking that in love, Lord Chaitanya got acidity and indigestion. But it wasn't a disturbance, it was ecstatic. And then when he ate that lime, ginger, salt, and yogurt, it immediately made him completely in good health. All acidity, all indigestion was immediately removed. And it tasted every bit as much as, if not more, delicious to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu than the whole feast the day before. Again, the Lord accepts the intention, the purpose. He accepts the love of the heart of his devotees. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was praising Chaitanya Das, that he knows my heart, he knows my mind, because of his love. We were discussing this morning. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvata. Tyaktva deham punara janma naiti mameti surjana. Krishna says, one who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities never has to take birth in this material world, but attains my abode. But what does it mean to understand the Lord? The Lord cannot be understood by scholarship, by memorization, even of holy scriptures. This gives us the proper information. But the understanding comes through our love, our devotion, our humility, and our surrender. Through our intention. Through parampara, by hearing and reading the words of the great acharyas from the scriptures, we get the perfect content. We get the perfect information which we need. But to understand that is in proportion to our surrender. Yayatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyam. And what is surrender? Surrender is not something extraordinary or exotic to understand. Surrender means, my Lord, I am yours. Let your will be done. I am here to please you, according to your will, not my will. That is surrender. When we really offer our life for the service of Krishna, of Sri Radha, through the service of the Vaishnavas, the service of Guru, or as Prabhupada has so succinctly explained, if one is sincere, serious, and does not have ulterior motives, the rarest of all treasures, pure devotional service, is easily given. This was the quality of Damayanti, Chaitanya Das. This was the quality of Govinda, who was willing to suffer endlessly if it would give some pleasure to the Lord. This is what it means to follow in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan. The gopis were willing to lose everything, sacrifice everything, even go to hell to give a moment pleasure to Krishna. It was because of that selfless, pure service attitude that they could relish the most intimate, highest pastimes with Krishna. This is the beautiful culture that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. And where there is selfless service, without ulterior motives, for the pleasure of the Lord, naturally, spontaneously, it brings the most intimate unity to all beings within this world. Pandita Samadarshana. Where there is love for Krishna, we see everyone, we see Krishna in the heart of every living being. We are not envious. Krishna told Arjuna, you can understand these teachings because you are not envious of anyone. He also said, you can understand these teachings because you are my friend and my devotee. So to intellectually, philosophically understand is necessary. Otherwise, we don't know what to know. It may be the wrong thing. But to actually understand it is according to our service attitude, according to our sincere desire to serve and to please the Lord. That is bhakti. And in its highest, most concentrated, and fullest manifestation is Vrindavan. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to bring the spirit, the pastimes, and the mood of Vrindavan to this world through the Sankirtan movement, where devotees are chanting, dancing, and feasting in this spirit. And Krishna reveals himself. Radharani reveals herself in the whole spiritual world when devotees in this mood chant the holy names. Much louder, please. Either you're really enthusiastic or you're eagerly awaiting Mahaprasad. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in the same light that year that all the devotees came from Bengal, Nityananda Prabhu also came. But the year before, Lord Chaitanya ordered Nityananda Prabhu not to come. Hare Krishna. But Lord Nityananda came. And the Lord was so happy. Sometimes, in the pastimes of love, and we cannot mistake this for any sentimental, physical, emotional, material love. We are talking about love of God. Sometimes in the pastimes of love, disobeying the Lord gives more pleasure to the Lord than obeying Him. Lord Nityananda simply wanted to come to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really wanted to see Nityananda Prabhu, even though he ordered him not to come. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives the example similar. When the gopis came to Bamsivat to meet Krishna, he told them all to go home. He ordered them, go home. But they wouldn't go home. Why didn't they not go home? Because they actually knew Krishna's heart, that he wanted them to stay. Nityananda Prabhu knew Krishna's heart, that he wanted him to stay. Now, we shouldn't pretend to think we know someone's heart. Someone may say, I know you want me to do this, so I've done it. I told you not to do it, but I know you want it. Actually, I don't want it. I wanted you to do something else. No, I know you want it. It's not like that. Prabhupada said, if I ask for water and you bring me milk, I say, well, I want water, but I know you want milk. But I don't want milk. I want water. He said, no, Gurudev, I know you want milk. Well, bring me water. No, here's your milk. So we cannot, unless we are on the platform of being beyond material desires, transcendental to the effects of Maya, we cannot imitate these great souls. But the principle is there, that the Lord is not so concerned with the rules and regulations as he is in our intention to follow them. We should follow the rules and regulations, but our intention to follow them is most important. When Srila Prabhupada came to the West, he did things that usually sannyasis, probably in the history of Bharatvarsha, for sure, in the history of the whole Vedic civilization, no sannyasi was ever in the Avalon ballroom where there were naked hippies dancing and strobe lights beaming and rock and roll bands accompanying you. Yes? Prabhupada turned to one of his disciples and said, this is no place for a brahmachari. Now, what was he doing there? Lord Chaitanya said, if Nityananda Prabhu even goes into a brothel, I know he's going there to preach with only the best intentions. Even if he's holding hands with a prostitute-like woman, I know that he's only doing it to save her life. Mahaprabhu was saying like this. Other people criticized Lord Nityananda. Srila Prabhupada, in the mood of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, went to the furthest extents to somehow or other give bhakti to the people of the West. And there were people in India who criticized him very strongly. This is not the rule. This is not the rules, the regulations. giving Malecha's Gayatri Mantra. This is impossible. He was criticized. But we learn from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita this principle. We were giving the story of Narottam Das Thakur. Should I continue or end? What are you supposed to say when I ask that question? I'm sorry. Narottam Das Thakur, we have just heard of how he would sing with such an intention to please the Lord and please the Vaishnavas that Radha and Krishna, their pastimes and their holy names manifested so absolutely fully from his voice that his voice was ambrosial sweetness, such a divine spiritual vibration that nobody ever heard anything like this. It was absolutely ecstatic. So much that Radha and Krishna appeared in the kirtan and gave their darshan to everyone simply because of Narottam's love. Because Narottam was so compassionate, he wanted everyone so much to have Krishna that Krishna manifested himself with Radharani to everyone. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did this by his own inconceivable will, just so that people would love and respect Narottam Das Thakur. Because by loving and respecting him, they would get the supreme blessings of the Lord. But he was Kayasta, which to certain Brahmins in Bengal at that time was considered to be Shudra. And he was giving initiation and even Gayatri Mantra and other mantras to Brahmins. And there were certain people who were very, very upset with this, certain Brahmins. This is against the religious principles, according to the Shastra. Where does it say? They had their traditional interpretation of the Shastra. They didn't understand the essence. How can a Shudra initiate a Brahmin? How dare him? There were people plotting to kill Narottam Das Thakur. There were people who were aggressively blaspheming him and trying with all their powers to denounce his reputation. One such Brahmin, his name was Gurudas Bhattacharya. And he was so blasphemous. He was making so many plots to destroy the reputation of Narottam Das Thakur that he got leprosy. And he tried every possible cure, but it kept getting worse and worse and worse. Finally, he worshipped goddess Chandi, Durga, and prayed to her, "Why is this happening to me? Why have I worshipped you all my life? I'm giving you all the rituals that you ask for. I'm doing everything according to the tradition. I'm doing my puja every single day, my rituals every single day. I'm chanting my slokas every single day. Why is this? I have leprosy. What's happening?" And Chandi was so angry. She told him, "Because you have blasphemed Narottam Das Thakur. You think you're a Brahmin? He is directly empowered by Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." He said, "You may be a Brahmin by caste, but a sincere Vaishnav." This is what Chandi told him. Listen carefully. Said, "A sincere Vaishnav has the sacred Brahmin thread around his or her heart. You have it around your body, but they have it on their heart. And that's what Krishna sees, not your body, your heart. You're attached to this bodily stuff, but Krishna sees the heart of the love of a Vaishnav. If one is a Vaishnav who loves Krishna, even if they are a chandala. Aho batasvapa chotogariyam yaj jivakri vartate namatubhyam. If they are chanting the holy names with all sincerity, even chandala is fit to become guru for the whole world. But a person born a Brahman who's performing all the 25 duties with all the qualities of a Brahman, if he's not chanting with such devotion, cannot even deliver him or herself, what to speak of anyone else. Now you go and surrender to Narottam Das Thakur and take initiation from him, otherwise you will be destroyed. That's what his worshipable deity told him. So the next day he went to Khetri, fell at the feet of Narottam Das Thakur, prayed. Narottam Das Thakur taught him how to do Nam Sankirtan, forgave him. And just by doing kirtan with such reverence toward a great devotee like Narottam, the leprosy disappeared. And he became a great devotee. Then other Brahmins who were just like him, they started thinking, before I get leprosy, I should surrender. I should also surrender to Narottam Das Thakur. So this is the way Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to show the glory of his devotees. And what is the essence of bhakti? The essence of bhakti is our devotion, whoever we may be. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells that anyone who hears these stories that we have told today with sincere faith will very soon develop love for the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And will be empowered to spread the glories of the holy name. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananti Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai, Nitai Gau Premanandi. Thank you very much. Mahadyuti Prabhu. Now Mahadyuti Prabhu will enlighten us.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I have a question.
You're supposed to enlighten us.
What's that?
You're supposed to enlighten us.
Well, the question will stimulate an enlightening response from you. This question is not meant to be challenging, but just to clarify. Certainly what you said is correct, that we have to hear philosophy. You were saying how the content is that we hear from the acharyas is the greatest content, greatest knowledge. We need to hear that. But then we also have to apply it. We have to actually surrender. So my question is that this transcendental sound vibration in the scriptures or from the acharyas, it's not exactly just information, but it's transcendental sound. And So when we, the act of hearing is also surrender. That takes surrender just to hear. It's a great austerity to hear transcendental sound vibration, plus the realization to which you were referring, the understanding, can also come just from the hearing itself. When we talk about engaging in devotional service, after all, there are 9 processes, but the first process is hearing, and that's a, that's something that you can do actively. It's not a passive thing, but it's an activity to hear. So can you please clarify this point? You understand the question?
Well, until I surrender, I can't really understand the question. But I think I understand. We all understand according to our level of realization. There are many levels of hearing. Bhagavad Gita tells Tadvidi Prani Pashnena Pariprashnena Sevaya. This is the way to hear. You approach Guru, you humble yourself in a and then you hear submissively. But then you render service. Krishna talks about jnana and vijnana. Jnana is knowledge. The Gita is giving knowledge. Vijnana is realization of that knowledge. So no doubt that simply by hearing, Maharaj Parikshit, all he did was hear, and he attained perfection. But what was his? But he was hearing on the level of surrender. He was really surrender. He was really taking shelter. He had no ulterior motives. He was listening perfectly. Prahlad Maharaj attained perfection by simply remembering. But he wasn't remembering just like, you know, somebody who's, you know, chastising someone and saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Prahlad was really surrendering his heart, his life, his soul. That's how he was remembering. So as we're hearing, you know, our service attitude, our submissiveness, our humility, are going to be very much determining how much we're understanding and realizing what we're hearing beyond the intellectual platform. What we hear can go into the mind and be stored by the intelligence also, but to actually go into the heart and transform it, it works for everybody. But it's a very, very gradual process unless we have the proper service attitude. Unless, like Gajendra, we're really, or like Parikshit Maharaj, we're really taking shelter of the process, the 9 processes of devotional service. In this case, specifically hearing. Just by hearing, if you hear, then you'll follow what you're hearing. Yes? And we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, but then what's the content? Prabhupada and the Acharyas are talking about the sincerity and the humility and the submissiveness that's required. If we're actually hearing, then we're going to start living like that. Yes? Otherwise, if we just ignore all the qualities we're supposed to be achieving or that we're supposed to be cultivating, and we just take the parts that we enjoy out of what we hear, it's a very, very gradual process. We're hearing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells us, if you want to chant the holy name properly, Trinadapi Sunichena Turor Ibasi Hishnuna. If we're actually hearing it, then Sevaya. Then we try to apply it. Yes? So to the degree we're actually in that spirit, sincere, serious, without ulterior motives, very quickly, rapidly, and fully, the understanding and realization come. If we're not so serious and serious, or we have ulterior motives, but we're hearing and we're coming, still we should keep coming. Even if we have millions of ulterior motives, still keep coming. Because by continually hearing, gradually, very gradually, it may take a few lifetimes, gradually you'll come to the conclusion of what you should be doing. Yes? And then you actually are really hearing. But whatever our state of consciousness is now, in this very lifetime, if we're just sincere, then all understanding will come. It is transcendental sound vibration. But how much we access it is how much we're receptive. And even the most envious person is going to access something when they hear Krishna Katha. But to the degree they're actually hearing, they're going to really work on transforming their lives. And as they do that, they're going to get deeper and deeper and deeper understandings and realizations. Does that answer your question?
Yes. I agree.
Just like an example before you go on. Srila Prabhupada spoke to millions of people. Some became devotees. At Cross Maidan, there was 25,000 people in that Pandal program. In 1971, March. Now, you know, a few people became devotees. Other people, I'm sure, right after the Pandal program, you know, they went to a restaurant and ate meat and drank alcohol and found somebody to have sex with. Right? They benefited. They definitely benefited immensely. It's probably the most valuable thing they ever did. But it may take a few lifetimes till it really starts, that seed begins to become an understanding. Whereas other people, you know, they heard and they took it seriously and they changed their lives. So please go on.
Yeah, I agree completely.
But Vaishnavas are so expert at
this is not a contradiction of anything you've said. It's just a qualification of something yes. You've said. Yeah, certainly everything you said is true. It's just that as far as I can understand, that just like you said, when we hear, and Prabhupada also said this, he said real hearing means to practice what you've heard, certainly. But one of the practices that we hear about, that we're supposed to engage in, is more hearing. So that's also a practical application of what we heard. Is we hear more. And it along the same line, therefore, it seems to me that hearing transcendental sound vibration, like, let's say it could be, as you were indicating, it could be simply gyan. Like, for instance, I know one devotee who, you may know him also from the mid-70s, he had memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita. And he wanted to demonstrate this to Srila Prabhupada. Eventually Prabhupada granted him an audience and he was demonstrating somehow. Prabhupada wasn't very impressed at all. And In fact, shortly after that, he got a huge inheritance, and we never saw him again. Well, actually, some devotees did see him again, but he had fallen down, broken all the four regular principles. So what use was his memorizing Bhagavad Gita? That kind of hearing, it seems to me, we could classify as gyan, because it didn't actually penetrate his heart. It didn't have an effect on his heart. But it seems to me that the kind of hearing, like you were saying, with surrender, with full surrender, that that's not only gyan, but it's also vegan. Comment?
I surrender. Thank you very much.
You're just trying to shut me up, that's all. Think about my point. I really want to know, is it a valid point? Or
it is a process. To go from jnana to vijnana is a process. For most of us, it is a gradual process. But what Prabhupada continually tells us, what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells us, what Sukadev Goswami tells us, is in this process, Krishna extracts the essence of our intention. And that is all important. Even if we're very fallen, if our intention is to purify our heart and please the Lord, Krishna recognizes that. If our intention is profit, adoration, and distinction, Krishna recognizes that. So it is a gradual process where we're hearing every day, we're chanting every day, we're performing these processes of devotional service. But the process itself, although transcendental, the transcendent nature of it is accessible to us according to our intention, according to our sincerity. Therefore, Prabhupada, one of the most common things he would tell us is, please take this Krishna consciousness very seriously. And seriousness means without ulterior motives. We're doing it with a very genuine intention. So gradually, as we're hearing and as we're chanting and as we're following the path of bhakti, we're supposed to be developing these deeper, pure intentions. And we're supposed to be developing better character. Prabhupada in one place said, what is the use of philosophy without good character? Service means to follow what we're hearing. It's a gradual process. But we should sincerely try to apply what we are hearing. Otherwise, we could chant 16 rounds or 64 rounds for 100 and 1,000 births and never see Krishna. Although we're making some progress. But eventually, we have to come to that platform of really reciprocating with what Krishna's giving us by following. Krishna wants us to be as learned as in the scripture as we have the capacity to be learned in the scripture. But in doing so, what he really sees is our intention to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant for the pleasure of the Lord. And now, with this understanding, yes?
Yeah, I surrender.
I surrendered first. He's surrendering to my surrender. Let us have Kirtan. Thank you very much.